And we will start from the beginning of the parasha. Let me just screen share with you. And there we are. You should all be able to see the Daf Makorot. And we're going to start with the very opening psukim of the parasha. By Daber Adonai Moshe Lemor, Hashem spoke to Moshe thusly. Daber al kol adak b'nei Yisrael, should speak to all the congregation of B'nai Israel, Vamarta lehem, and you shall say to them, Kadoshim tihiyu, you shall be holy, Ki kadosh ani Adonai Eloheichem, for I, Hashem, am your God, am holy. So, the first big question we've really got is, what does it mean to be a holy people? What does Hashem mean when he demands of us that we should be holy? And it's a little bit of a question, actually, how to translate these opening words of Kadoshim Tiyu. Is it prescriptive or descriptive? Meaning, is it saying that you shall be holy? This is the challenge and the task that B'nai Israel is being charged with. Or is it perhaps saying that if you keep the mitzvot, all the mitzvot that came in last week's parasha of Acharemot, and the mitzvot that appear in this week's parasha of Kadoshim, then by virtue of that, that will make you holy. In any event, a question asked by a number of Mepharshim is, why is it that Parashat Kadoshim had to be said El Kol Adat B'nai Yisrael? Very often, we're told, Moshe Rabbeinu is told, Daber El B'nai Yisrael, speak to B'nai Yisrael. But why is it Daber El Kol Adat B'nai Yisrael, speak to the entire congregation of Israel, which implies that everybody was present for this parasha. The Chizkuni, one of the Rishonim, bases his comments on the Midrash and says as follows: why does it tell us Daber El Kol Adat B'nai Yisrael? Melamed, it teaches us Sheparasha Zu Nemra B'kinus. This parasha was said in a grouping of lots of people. Aseret HaDivrot, just like the Aseret HaDivrot. Well, and why is that? Lefisha kol hadibrot kululot ba, because all of the Aseret HaDibrot are linked to it. All of the Aseret HaDibrot are reflected in Parashat Kadoshim. And he goes on to show how this is the case. Kan, in the Aseret HaDibrot, it says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. And here in Parashat Kadoshim it says, Anochi Hashem Elokeichem. In Pasuk Bet here, right in front of us, it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am Hashem your God. In the Aseret HaDibrot it says, Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim, that you shouldn't have other gods. And the Kan, in here Parashat Kadoshim, it says, Al Tifnu El Ha'ilinim, don't turn towards other gods. In the Aseret HaDibrot it says, Lo Tisa, you shouldn't take Hashem's name in vain. The Kan, in here in Parashat Kadoshim, in the next perek, it says, Lo Tishavu Vishmi Lashakem, you shouldn't swear with my name falsely. Kan, in the Aseret HaDibrot, it says, Zachor, you should remember the Shabbat day. And here in Parashat Kadoshim, it says, Et Shabbatotai Tishmoru, you shall observe my Shabbatot. Kan, in the Aseret HaDibrot, it says, Kabedet Avicha Vetimecha, you should honor your parents. The Kan, in Parashat Kadoshim, it says, Ish Imov Aviv Tirao, everybody should fear their parents. In the Aseret HaDibrot, it says, Lo Tirtzach, you shouldn't murder. And in Parashat Kadoshim, it says, Lo Tamot Al Damreecha, you shouldn't stand by your neighbor's blood, your friend's blood, when it gets spilt. In the Aseret HaDibrot, it says, Lo Tinach, you shouldn't commit adultery. And here it says in Parashat Kadoshim, Mot Yumat Hano Eifah Hano Afet, an adulterer shall surely die. In the Aseret HaDibrot, it says, Lo Tignov, you shouldn't steal. And here in Parashat Kadoshim, it says, Lo Tignovu, again, not to steal. In the Aseret HaDibrot, it says, Lo Tanev Reacha, Eid Shaker, don't give false testimony against your friend. And here it says in Parashat Kadoshim, Lo Teilech Rachil Ba'amecha, You shouldn't go round as a talebearer in your amongst your people. It says lo tachmod in the Aseret HaDibrot. Don't envy or desire what other people have got. And Kan in Parashat Kedoshim it says lo tashok. You shouldn't oppress others to get what they have. So what we see is that, if you like, Parashat Kedoshim is in a certain sense a repetition of the Aseret HaDibrot, with perhaps a more detailed focus and looking at it from a slightly different perspective, but certainly a notion that the ideas that come up in the Aseret HaDibrot are also reflected in Parashat Kedoshim, which in turn tells us about the importance of Parashat Kedoshim and why it had to be shared with Kol Adat Bnei Israel, with the entire community. Okay, so let's go back to our original question, which was, what exactly does it mean that we should be holy? What is really holiness? So holiness in a certain sense means compared to the Almighty, compared to the Divine. The term Kodesh or Hekdesh means something which is set aside from other things. Whenever we use the term Kodesh, it really means something which is differentiated or moved away from other things to be special by itself. Now the Ramban, in what is possibly the most famous Ramban on Chumash, but certainly one of the most important Rambans, I think, on Chumash, starts off by quoting Rashi. Rashi tells us that Kedoshim Tiyu simply means Hevu Perushim Min Ha'er Arayotim Min Ha'aveira, that you should be separated away from things to do with Arayot, forbidden sexual relationships, Min Ha'aveira, and from sin. So where it says Kedoshim Tiyu, it's really a general statement saying that if you keep these mitzvot and keep away from sin, then by virtue of that you will be holy. Or to look at it the other way, you've got an obligation to be holy, and the way you will become holy is by following these laws. But the Ramban says that he sees in the Torat Kohanim, the Torat Kohanim is the Midrash Halacha on Sefer Vayikra, that Kedoshim Tiyu means Perushim Tiyu, you shall be separated from other things. And what does that mean? So he says, Ulefidati, he's got a long passage, we're just going to take one paragraph. Ulefidati, Ein ha-prishut hazuli prosh min ha-rayot kedivrei harav. I don't think, he says, that it means like Rashi says, that we've got to separate ourselves from forbidden relationships. Because that's exactly, you know, those are the mitzvot that the Torah tells us anyhow. Aval ha-prishut hi ha-muzkeret b'chol makom b'talmud she-ba'aleh ha-nikra perushim. That prishut means whatever the Talmud refers to. The Talmud refers to certain people as being perushim. Perushim meaning people who have separated themselves from things which are spiritually bad for them. V'ha-inyan, and what it means, ki ha-Torah zira ba-arayotu v'machalim ha-asurim. For example, the Torah has told us that there are certain forms of relationships that one can't form with other people. There are certain types of food that one can't eat. But one's allowed to be intimate with one's spouse, and one's allowed to eat meat and drink wine. But in Cain, and as a result, you could experience yimtza bal ha-tava makom liyot shatuf b'zimat ishto na'ashav harabot. If a person wants, a person could still be entrenched in a life of intense sexuality. He can have a person can have many wives, all of them legitimate, and every night be intimate with another wife, and every morning be intimate with another wife, and can spend his whole time drinking wine and getting drunk and eating meat and pigging out, as it were, v'daber k'rishono b'chol hanavilot, and say whatever he likes to say, so long as it's not lashon hara. Shelo huskar yisuzeh b'Torah, because these things aren't prohibited in the Torah. V'neya yiyeh naval b'rishut ha-Torah, and such a person will be what the Ramban calls naval b'rishut ha-Torah, uncouth, with permission from the Torah. Meaning none of these things that the person's doing is prohibited. After we've got things which are absolutely prohibited, the end of Parashat Acharemot, prohibited relationships, and a whole load of mitzvot in Parashat Kedoshim, but Tzivah davar klali, it tells us in general terms, Shenier Purushim Min HaMotarot, that we should be Purushim, we should be separated. I've never realized, been quite sure whether the Ramban means min ha-motarot, from excess, or whether he means even from things which are permitted. It amounts to much the same thing. The point that the Ramban is telling us, and this is a very important point, is there's two notions that we need to be aware of. There are things which are permitted by the letter of the Torah, or things which are prohibited, if you like, by the letter of the Torah, and there are things which are prohibited by the spirit of the Torah. And that's a very important notion. We've got two things going on here. There are certain things which, yeah, check in your Torah, check in your Chumash, check in your Talmud and your Shulchan Aruch. Doesn't say anywhere that you can't do it. But nevertheless, this is not the right way to behave. And if we want to achieve holiness, then we need to get into the spirit of the law as well. And that is what Kedoshim Tiyu is about. Kedoshim Tiyu is that in addition to following the letter of the law, we need to go beyond that. We need to try and make ourselves holy by following the spirit of the law. And there are certain things which are permitted, but nevertheless it should be clear to anybody who has spiritual aspirations that that's not what we should be doing. So I think that's a very important notion of the Ramban at the beginning of Parashat Kedoshim, that in order to become holy, we have to focus on the spirit of the law. What does Hashem really want of us? And, you know, we see this in many aspects. You know, take, for example, Shabbat. We often talk about things, you know, a person will ask, is such a thing permitted on Shabbat? The answer might be that it's permitted, but it's not in the spirit of Shabbat. And we shouldn't be cavalier about it. Oh, well, you know, it's all right, you know, we don't need to worry about the spirit of Shabbat. No, we do need to worry about the spirit of Shabbat. Shabbat is the day of Kedusha. Kedusha means engaging with the spirit of Shabbat. I was having a discussion not so long ago with somebody about the question of riding bicycles on Shabbat. That's a whole question in its own right. But it's not clear. According to some poskim, it's very clear that riding a bicycle is a problem on Shabbat. Other poskim say that the reason why you can't do it is because it's not in the spirit of Shabbat. You get on your bike and go riding around Regent's Park, you know, three, four, five times round Regent's Park on a Shabbat, coming home all hot and sweaty afterwards. Have you transgressed any particular issur? Maybe not. But was it in the spirit of Kedushat Shabbat? The answer is, it wasn't. And that's what the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu is telling us. We pointed out the fact that it's El Kol Adat B'nai Israel. This parasha was given to everybody. And the Netziv in Ha'amek Davar has a very fascinating observation. He says, why is it El Kol Adat B'nai Israel? Why did everybody have to be present for these mitzvot that come up in Parashat Kedoshim, and for the notion of Kedoshim Tiyu? He says, Basher en Prushat Kol Adam Shaveh, because not everybody will separate themselves from what's permitted in exactly the same way. V'torat kol echad levado biyado. In actual fact, it depends on who you are, how you should approach this. L'fi teva gufo v'halichot beito. It depends on your personality, it depends on the nature of your family, the chadome, etc. And that's why it has to say El Kol Adat Bnei Israel. Everybody had to listen to this because it couldn't just be one, couldn't just be given as a generalization. And this reflects an approach of the Netziv in general. The Netziv, in a number of places, he makes clear to us that his approach is, or his understanding of Torah and Chumash and Hashem's demands of us, are not the same for everybody. It's not that everybody has to be the same as the Gadol Hador. Everybody has different circumstances, different personalities, and has to do it in different ways. What will be a good model of Kedusha for one person will not be a good model of Kedusha for another person. For example, the Ramban said talking excessively is not necessarily a conduit for Kedusha. In terms of, one needs to guard one's words, one needs to not be too jovial. It doesn't mean to say one should never talk, it doesn't mean to say one should never make a joke, but if your entire life and your entire conversation is saying funny things and making jokes, etc., etc., and distracting you from the serious things in life, so then it's going to make it difficult for you to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of Kedusha. But the Netziv is making the observation that different people will have different responsibilities. Let's say a person's got a large family, and some of that person's children have difficulty engaging with education and difficulty engaging in serious things. And the parents, to engage with their children meaningfully, can't be too serious with them. They have to show a fun side of life to them. And they have to make jokes and they have to be jovial. Right? So for such a person to say, okay, you know what, I'm going to observe a Tanit Dibur. I'm not going to speak every Monday and Thursday. And I'm going to be very, very careful with my words. And at meal times, I'm only going to speak Divrei Torah, etc., etc. That might not be appropriate for every personality or for every person's station or stage or situation in life. And therefore, it says, El Kol Adat Bnei Israel, everybody had to listen to these rules because they apply differently to each individual person. Okay, let's go on a few psukim. So, towards the beginning of the parasha, we're told, Lo Tasu Avel Bamishpat, you shouldn't do anything which is perverted when you're involved in justice. Lo Tisaf Neidal, you shouldn't show favoritism to the poor. The Lo Tehedar Pnei Gadol, nor show extra respect to people who are important. But Tzedek Tishpot Amitecha, you shall judge your friend with tzedek, with righteousness. So what does it mean, but tzedek tishpot amitecha? Rashi tells us, tzedek tishpot kamashma'o, should make sure that that the judicial conclusions that you come to should be, but tzedek should be entirely accurate. No leeway, no give way whatsoever. It should be, but tzedek, this is what is correct. That's the first thing that Rashi says. Rashi also says, Davar Acher. There's another explanation. Heveidan et chavercha lekaf zechut. You should judge everybody lekaf zechut. Give them the benefit of the doubt. You should always make sure that if there are two ways of looking at something, then give the person the benefit of the doubt and presume that they did the right thing rather than the wrong thing. I remember many years ago, I had a particular issue in one of my communities. I don't want to give any details away. But we had to address what to do about a certain situation. And we had an executive meeting to discuss it. And it was a very sensitive and difficult situation. And I really felt that we had to take a strong position on the matter. And somebody round the table said, but Rabbi Roslar, isn't it a mitzvah to give everybody the benefit of the doubt? And I said, yes, but that's in a case where there's a doubt. In this case, there's no doubt whatsoever. And I think that's actually an important notion, that you know, you have to give a person the benefit of the doubt, but not where there is no doubt in the case. In any event, Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch picks up on the fact that these two explanations in Rashi, which are to be found in Chazal, are at total odds with each other. If we're saying tzedek tishpot amitecha, right, that we should be exacting in terms of justice, so how can we also say that you should give a person the benefit of the doubt? Okay, what does benefit of the doubt mean? It doesn't just mean, well, I don't know if they did it or didn't do it, but kafsuchut means, it doesn't literally mean the benefit of kafsuchut. The zuchut means they've got sort of some merits. There are mitigating circumstances. You know, a person does X, then, okay, we know they did X, but maybe the circumstances were such that, you know, they felt compelled to do that. So how can we, if we're going to say, but tzedek tishpot amitecha, how can we also say, have they done it, chaver chalachaf zuchut? And Rav Hirsch gives a fascinating answer. He says that we're looking at two different contexts. In one context, we're looking in the judicial context. The other context is the societal context. And there are different responsibilities in each of those situations. He says in the judicial context, when we're meeting out justice and we're deciding whether a person has to pay a penalty or doesn't have to pay a penalty, right, we can only go by what we've got in front of us. Right? We have to say, listen, the evidence is X, and therefore the person has to pay this penalty, the person is guilty, the person is innocent. That's as far as the court is concerned. But society, which is dealing with people, has to approach things differently. And yeah, you might see a person who seems to be behaving inappropriately, seems to be doing things which aren't right. You've got to ask yourself, you know, why is it that the person is behaving in this way? What can I, you know, what can I take into account to try and help this person, rather than coming down in the judicial context in the strictest possible way? And I think this is a very beautiful idea, that we've got, you know, two things working not exactly within the same framework. The court has to work in one way, but when it comes to society, treat people more gently, see if we can bring out the best in them by having done it, kol adam lekaf zuchut, by judging people favourably. Now, within the context of judging people favourably or not, we have the mitzvah of lotis, or the mitzvot of lotis na'atachicha bilvavecha. You shouldn't hate your brother in your heart. Hocheach tochiach et amitecha. You shall surely rebuke your friend, and you shouldn't bear a sin for him. Now, there are lots of different ways of understanding this pasuk and the relationship between the three clauses. Don't want to go into great detail now, but the Rashbam says they're all related, meaning lo tisnat achicha bilvavecha, somebody's upset you, and you feel somebody's behaved badly towards you. So don't hate them in their heart, in your heart. Hocheach tochiach et amitecha. You should, speak to them. Tell them why you're upset. Rebuke them. V'lo tisa lav chet, and don't be guilty of bearing a grudge against them in that way. Others say that these three mitzvot are a little bit less closely related. Maybe v'lo tisa lav chet is telling us how to rebuke, etc., etc. In any event, we've translated the phrase "Hocheach tochiach et amitecha." You shall surely rebuke your friend. And the question is, what exactly does this word, or this phrase "Hocheach tochiach" mean? Again, we could have a halachic shear on the parameters of rebuke, but that's not our topic for this evening. But what does it mean, "Hocheach tochiach et amitecha"? To Rabbi Yaakov C. Mecklenburg, in HaKetav of HaKabbalah, he tells us that what does, if we look elsewhere, what does the word hocheach or nochach mean? It means something which is opposite or in front of something else. So if you talk about nochach hatzon, okay, nochach hatzon means like in front of the flock. It means to show something to somebody. And the Hakatava HaKabbalah says what it means when we're talking about Hocheach Tochiach et Amitecha. It doesn't mean just tell people off. It means show them what they're doing wrong. Help them understand why you're rebuking them. It's not just a matter of telling the person they mustn't do this, but it's also about it's trying to help them and trying to put them on the right path, showing them the folly of their ways. So if you like, perhaps a better translation of hocheach, tochiach, sometimes, you know, again, in Ivrit, you'll talk about lohochiach. Lohochiach means to prove something, to demonstrate something. And that's what you want to do to your when you see a person doing the wrong thing. It's not just a matter that you can get angry with them, but it's a matter that you've got to prove to them and show to them what they've done wrong so that they can change their mode of behavior. In actual fact, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky here in Emet Yaakov, he discusses the question of, is the mitzvah of Hocheach Tochiach et Amitecha, is it a mitzvah bein Adam l'chaveiro, or a mitzvah bein Adam l'makom? And there are different ways of understanding it. Some Mepharshim understand it as essentially being a mitzvah bein Adam l'makom. And the reason why we've got this mitzvah of tochacha is because it's offensive to have sin in the world. It's offensive to Hashem. Whereas others say, no, it's for the betterment of the person. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, he says that's how he understands the mitzvah of tochacha, that it's part of the mitzvah also of ahavta l'reacha kamocha, which comes up in the next pasuk. You have to do the tochacha in such a way that the recipient of the rebuke feels that you've done him a favour. That's what it's all about. So they'll feel grateful to you rather than resentful to you. That's really the magic of tochacha. Let's just pick up on a couple more points. So one of the really big questions is the mitzvah v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, the mitzvah that you should love your neighbor as yourself. And a point raised and discussed again by a number of Mepharshim is, what can it mean, what can the Torah be demanding of us, that you should love somebody else as yourself? Firstly, in general, this is a question where we've got mitzvot of even the mitzvah of ahavta et Hashem elokecha, you shall love Hashem. How can the Torah demand an emotion of us? And here, not only how can the Torah demand an emotion of us, but also, how can it be, this is almost an impossible emotion. A person is always going to prioritize themselves in some way, and that's in actual fact what the Torah demands of us. The Gemara in Masechet Bava Metzia talks about two people who are in the desert, and they've only got 1 liter of water between them, and they could share it, each drink half a liter, and neither of them will get to their destination. They'll both die in the desert. Or one of them, the person who's got the water, he shouldn't share it with his friend. He should drink it all himself, and he'll get to his destination. And it's a question, do we say v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, or do we say, no, chayecha kodmin? We say, no, your life takes precedence. So you don't have to love the other person exactly as yourself. You'll always love yourself somewhat more. So what does it mean, love your neighbour as yourself? So I want to look at the Sefer Kerem HaTzvi. Ben Tzvi Ashferber was a rav in Europe and then in London in the first part of the middle of the 20th century. And he says, his first explanation is that Kol uman sonei ben umanuto. Everybody hates or is jealous of a person who's got the same trade as them. If I own a pharmacy, then I'm somewhat resentful of the next pharmacist along the road because they're getting my business. I don't want them to be better than me. I wish their shop wasn't open. And therefore, what it means here is, v'ahavta l'reacha, you should love your neighbour, even kamocha, even if he's in the same line of business as you, and you think that you're losing out as a result of them. That's not true. Everything is decided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu anyhow. And don't be resentful of the other person, even if they are kamocha, even if they're just like you. Or sometimes, you know, we have, in life, you've got a competitor, and you're resentful of your competitor. That's the kamocha. No, don't be resentful of the competitor. V'ahavta l'reacha, you shall love the person, even though they are your competitor. That's the first observation that he makes. The second observation that he makes is that v'ahavta l'reacha, you shall love your friend kamocha in the same way that you love yourself, meaning you do things for yourself without expecting any reward for it. Sometimes you need to do things for other people as well without expecting a reward for it. And not everything in life is cost-benefit analysis. So, v'ahavta l'reacha, be nice to other people, kamocha, just like you're nice to yourself. You don't always expect to get something back for it. So when you do things for others, you don't always need to be expecting to get something back for it as well. We'll finish off with an observation. I think a very important observation from Reb Nachim, Menachem Ben Tzion Sachs in his Sefer Menachem Tzion. And he says, "V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, kamo she'ata ohev et atzmecha." Just as you love yourself, even though you know your own shortcomings, the same way you should love other people despite their shortcomings. You know, we admire ourselves, even though if we stop to think about it for a moment, we've all got lots of shortcomings. But, you know, we don't let that get in the way of the high regard that we often have for ourselves. Other people also have shortcomings. That shouldn't affect the way that we regard them as our re'im, as our brethren, as people that we can like, people that we can have affection for. It's true that Chazal tell us, l're'acha b'mitzvot, it means that we have to love only people who have the same ultimate spiritual ambitions as us. And if people are anti-religious, then this mitzvah doesn't apply. But there are plenty of people who are not anti-religious. They just have shortcomings. And just as we have shortcomings, they have shortcomings. And that shouldn't stop us judging them favorably. Essentially, Rabbi Akiva says, "Haftal arecha kamocha is a klal gadol sheba Torah." Is an important principle in the Torah. So maybe what it means is, just as we can overlook our own shortcomings, we should be able to overlook other people's shortcomings as well. And if we're looking for one important lesson from Parashat Kedoshim, I think that's a very important lesson. So I think we will pause it there for this evening. And looking forward, as ever, to... looking forward, as ever, to learning Torah with you all next week as well. Okay, have a good evening, everybody.